5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome to Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast. I am Joshua Teehee, aka Famous Whitewater, and with me always is Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Mike,
hey, I am great, Josh. Great May, enjoying all the nice May weather.
It's May, and it's not 100 degrees outside
yet. No.
It's feeling awesome.
We haven't yet hit triple, and it's all nice.
I know. Let's take over under. When is the triple digits coming? Can we make it through till Grizzly Fest? So Grizzly Fest is the 18th and 19th.
Yes.
Can we make it through?
It'll be after Grizzly. I'm going to go with the over after Grizzly Fest.
All right. Well, we will see. That would be great. So we're here to talk about all your Fresno pop culture-y blah, blah, blahs. And there's a bunch of
Fresno.
It.
Fresno!
It seemed like April going into May was just an insane month for craziness, awesomeness, all that kind of stuff. So, where do you want to start? You got the book. You hold the book with the notes.
Yeah, the April craziness, Fresno State. Sort of dying off. It's about dead now. But
I'm hoping it's about dead.
Fresno State professor Randa Gerard.
I should know, and I apologize to her. I hate.
We just know how to write things. We don't know how to pronounce them.
I hate when people like mispronounce names, and I should have tried to figure it out. Anyway, so she is a professor in the MFA program at Fresno State, and also, I think this is worth pointing out, she has an entire career that is outside of Fresno State. You know, so she is a known entity.
Like an author?
As an author, yeah. Mm-hmm. Outside of Fresno State, as a writer, as a reader, several books out, and is known well within the literary community. So Barbara Bush dies, I guess, is where we should start with this. And within several hours of Barbara Bush dying, this Fresno State professor. And I say that because that's what she has on her Twitter account. And that's what caused a lot of these problems. She makes these references about Barbara Bush, blah, blah, blah. Essentially saying, you know, get the fuck out of here. Fuck out of here with your kind thoughts, I think is what she was saying. Essentially, and called Barbara Bush a bunch of bad things.
Called her a racist, and she raised a war criminal.
And then there was this whole, and anyone who is listening to this has probably heard this story a bazillion times and kind of knows, so I don't think we have to go too in-depth. But just a huge amount of backlash and outrage about it on kind of all sides, but... Mm-hmm. To the point where a lot of people are calling for her to be fired. It's a whole free speech thing. You know, there's people saying, oh, it's her free speech and she wasn't acting as part of the, university. And then everyone on the other side is fire. She hates America. Mm-hmm. She's fat and ugly.
Blah. Yeah.
That really is, by the way, the majority of the argument on the side against her that I have seen is America, and she's fat, she's ugly, no one would want to rape her, like that kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was the kind of stuff you were seeing on, and so much of this just kind of exists on Twitter and on social media, and I'm not sure how much of it exists in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I say this because the president of the university held two forums, community forums recently. He held one for students and faculty, and then he held one for the public. And, you know, they were expecting, because there was so much kind of outrage out there, or it seemed like there was so much like noise, right? Mm-hmm. They were expecting 3,000 people or whatever, or that's how many they set up for. Who knows how many they actually expected, but they had it set up for 3,000 people in the Save Mart Center, and 250 people showed up. And they were kind of the archetype that you would expect, you know? So I don't know. I don't really know what to think about all this. I think it's real kind of just dumb and a waste. But it's gotten to the point where I saw Central Valley Observer, I think, one of those sites. They had a story the other day that was essentially a video that someone had taken. They saw her, Ron Girard, in a car driving around Fresno. I think maybe at like Art Hop or something. Uh-huh. And they stopped and they're like, "Hey, blah, blah, blah. Are you the professor?" And, you know. And so this Central Valley Observer put that up as like, "Hey, she's in Fresno again," because she had been out of the country for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so
she was on like vacation or leave.
Right, she's been on leave.
She took the semester off.
She took the semester off. She's going to be. I want to say she has next semester off too, but maybe not. I don't know. And she was out of the country at the time that this whole thing was happening, and you know, I mean, it's really unfortunate because I feel like there was a lot of there were a lot of people that suffered for this that shouldn't have suffered. For instance, Lit Hop was happening that weekend that this whole thing broke, and she was actually supposed to be the headline reader. Well, suddenly it was like she was not going to be in town, for one. I mean, well, I guess she was coming into town, but you know, so suddenly she was like, "I'm not going to come and do the reading." Well, that didn't sit well with, you know, people who the fans of Lit Hop who were like, why won't you let her read? Why are you stifling? You know, which that wasn't the case, but that's what.
Yeah, they're blaming the Lit Hop
right.
people.
And then the other side was like, why would you even think about having her anywhere near people? Oh
right.
my God, you know.
Near humans.
Yeah, so it was just, so they had to, you know, at last minute, they had to scramble to get a new speaker, and they had to, like, really kind of do damage control for this event that should not have had to suffer that, you know. I mean, really not. It's a great event, and I want to say it still happened, and it was great, and I think a lot of people had a great time. But you know, that's a lot of negative press, and it's also like a bad thing that the guy who organizes this, who is a local poet, I mean, he had to go. No one should have to deal with this kind of backlash for something that, like, they didn't really, you know, it wasn't their, were bringing her in
right.
to be the speaker because that's what she does. I mean, she is in the literary world, like I said, you know, a well-known name and also supportive within the literary community here. So, it made sense to have her as the keynote
right.
or as the headline reader, obviously, until this whole thing broke. So, but we got mentioned on Bill Maher, so that was really cool.
Bill Maher mentioned Fresno, called the president Castro,
president
Fresno, and where it was funny how Bill really didn't agree with her statement or said that he wouldn't have said that. But then was mad at Fresno State President Castro because they were denouncing
right,
denouncing it and saying, well, like,
right,
she's allowed to say stupid. It
right.
was a bad thing to say, but she's allowed to say
right.
it.
And of course, you know, Bill Maher obviously understands
politically,
this.
He's all about politically.
He understands this more than anyone because that's why he doesn't have a show on ABC anymore, and he had to move to because, you know, of some stuff that he said that people didn't agree with. So, like, you know, it totally makes sense that he would agree. And, you know, I think it's the exact same thing. I think it's interesting because she said these things, and everyone immediately was like piled on. And I think that her response was not a good response.
No.
It's the response that I think she felt like she had to make because, you know, when you're on the internet, there's only one way to deal with people, and that's just, like, turn it up to 11.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, you can't...
And no, you're not going to get attention otherwise. Like,
you know? So I think what she was figuring is, like, oh, I can't reason with these people. I'm not going to... You know, I'm not going to back down on it because I believe it. I think it. So I'm just going to go 100% the other way. And And I think that's what really upset people was not so much, which I also think is nothing to get upset about. But I think what people were really upset about is not what she said, because, you know, I'm almost certain Barbara Bush isn't like Prince or somebody. Like, you know, I'm not so sure there were a lot of people who were, I mean, her family obviously and things, but, mm-hmm. I think people were upset because she came back at them with like this sense of entitlement of like, you can't get me fired. Try. Yeah. Go ahead and try to get me fired. See what happens. And see what happened. Nothing. Right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, she was correct in what she was saying, but I think that's what offended people.
She didn't need to antagonize.
Like, right.
After saying something that controversial, it wasn't necessary to antagonize.
Because, so truthfully, look, we don't like mouthy women. Like, people don't. We just don't. I mean, that's right.
It's not right.
Right. No, I'm not saying. Right. Yeah, I'm not putting a judgment.
I know what
on
you're
there.
Saying. I'm making sure. Thank you. Listener knows.
Yeah, not us personally, but yes. As in general, as a society, we don't like mouthy women. So when she said this, I think what everyone wanted or what they expected was, oh, we're upset about this, and then have her go, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it, blah, 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 and, mm-hmm. and back down from it. And I think her response was purposeful, which was like, no, I meant it 100%, whatever, bring it on, you know? Yeah. And I think that's how, I feel like in one way, that's just how you have to deal with these kind of things. And then it kind of spiraled out of control. I mean, it's way more mm-hmm. than I think anyone rightfully could have thought.
My only issue was her involving Fresno State in it. Like, I didn't care about what she said or anything. She's like,
I don't think she involved them at all. I mean,
I might be wrong, but I thought it. One tweet was like, she added President Castro and added Fresno State and was
because
like, you're going to back me.
Because people were already calling for her to be fired. Mm-hmm. Like, because she had her title listed on her Twitter. And mm-hmm. so people were immediately going like, Fresno State needs to know about this so they can whatever. And so her response was, yeah, here, if you want to talk to them. Directly message them and let them know. So I think other people brought Fresno State into it, and she, you know, doubled down or tripled down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, truthfully, regardless of what she said, whether she should have been able to say it, like, she threw Fresno State under the bus in a big way, and especially President Castro. And, like, you just can't throw your boss under the bus.
Yeah.
And expect everything
to
be
cool.
Too,
is
you
like
know,
all of us with regular day jobs,
right?
I know I could never do that and involve my company in what I'm saying on Twitter.
Well, and
not get in trouble. So I think there's a lot of people. Who are
and
like,
I think that's the other thing is like I think people like they're mad about that. They're mad about the fact that like, oh my God, she's in this position where she could never be fired. I wish that I could be in a position. Well, you know what? Maybe you should work to get a good union to fight for you guys so you can, you know, like there's a reason that it's set up like that for, because they fought hard to get those things. Mm-hmm. You know, and we could get into the whether or not we think that this is proper, like conversations to be having at universities and if these are the types of people that we want to have at universities and et cetera and so forth. And I think that's another one of the things that people are really upset about, you know, like, oh, she hates America. So why would we ever want to give tenure?
Well, yeah, I think that's you know, always a problem with people on another side of an argument where they take it to in a direction that it's not gonna go and it's not meant to go.
Right.
And they'll just be like, make that leap of like, well, just because she said something bad about a first lady nothing to do with
she
what
might
she
have
thinks.
Said actually she hates Americans. Well, so no, because what ended up happening was like, you know, she's been out, like she's been vocal about these kind of issues before. And so people just, it's out there. So if you want, you can go and find all this stuff. So people did and they made these videos and, you know, but I would point out that none of those videos or none that I saw anyway had anything to do with Fresno State, that they all came from, you know, outside of the university in her role as a, as an author, as her role, you know,
private person,
right? And to me, it's like, if you want to talk about her job at Fresno State and whether or not she's capable of doing it, ask the people that are work, you know,
her students.
You know, there's a lot of people that are really upset and like, oh, my student, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, is your student in the MFA program? Like, mm-hmm. is your kid in the MFA program? Like, and then, one of the 40 or whatever?
Unless,
then they're probably not even going to see her. And then
unless her class,
so,
her specific class is required for whatever degree you're trying for, you can avoid her class altogether. You can say, I'm not. You know, the program for school gives you the who's going to be teaching that usually.
Right.
And you can be like, nope, I'm not taking her class because of what she said there. And she's going to influence me improperly or whatever. But
the whole thing to me just was a glaring example of how these kind of things can just like take on a life of their own and become something that's even like way bigger than anyone wants it to be. And I think it also shows the power of social media in that a lot of this outrage and stuff, I don't think is even happening from people in Fresno. You know, I think mm-hmm. it's people outside of Fresno who are hearing about it and, you know, writing in, calling in. And, you know, I got an email from a guy and he made some comment in the email. And apparently someone made almost the exact same comment at the community forum, uh-huh. you know. Now, maybe it was the same person, but more than likely, I think that, you know, they're getting their set of talking points from someplace, and they're just going to repeat that and repeat that and repeat mm-hmm. that and repeat that and repeat that. But hopefully that's all dying down now.
Yeah. We're probably the last thing to be said on it now.
Yeah.
We're closing the book.
Yeah. That would be really awesome. I will say, though, from a journalistic standpoint, it was a very good time for the Fresno Bee in that, you know, we had the story early and we followed it fairly closely and we got a lot of engagement from people. And that's good for us. So, you know, everything else being said,
people love to get involved in negative stories.
Good for the news.
All right. Our always every month topic.
Every month.
There's a couple talking points.
Right.
Downtown Fresno. Well, let's go with number one first.
Number one.
Parking. Oh, I was going to talk about parking. There was a big blow up about, there was an event at Grizzly Stadium.
Yes.
Some sort of Latin event, Latino event. And the
music thing?
I don't know what it was.
Okay.
It wasn't Cinco de Mayo. It was something else. And one of the parking lots,
$25.
Put $25 parking.
Yeah,
and that blew up on one of the Facebook pages.
Like, I saw this.
I want to know, did it work? Like, was it full? Was that $25 lot full?
I don't know. Well, first of all, I should say I do not believe that was a city lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't believe. So a lot of people, they were, from what I could see, was like they were trying to, like, how can the city is gouging us or whatever. But I don't think it was a city lot.
What's that company that CPG?
Yeah, whatever the parking. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it was a lot that was not owned by or run by the city, it was someone else. So, you know.
Oh, actually, it's owned by the high speed rail.
Oh, okay.
And then whoever's running it is leasing it from the high speed rail. I don't know.
So they can set the parking at whatever they want, right? For mm-hmm. an event. Like, I mean, if you own the lot, you can, right? And that's the idea.
I guess so.
If you, if people can choose to park there or not.
They're not so, required
right.
to.
So, you know,
I guarantee
I know where that spot is and there's parking, there's closer parking, you know, I mean, right around the corner. I've parked in that lot
for a Grizzly game before. Yeah.
So I think about
how much you park for if you go to
Save Mart Center.
Well, Save Mart Center is not that much, I don't think. But if you go to a Giants game,
right?
Or you go to a Raider game, or whatever.
Well, I saw a thing the other day that was talking about Las Vegas, and how Las Vegas, like, less people are actually coming to Las Vegas now than used to be. And one of the reasons that they cited this study or whatever was people don't want to pay for parking, right? Because all the places charge whatever, like, right. The casinos charge for parking. And people were just like, no, I don't want to pay for it, you know? So, and it's true. It's like, I don't know, $50 a night or something. I mean, it's some kind of craziness. You know, I mean, the truth is, and as we've said before on the show, like, parking is a commodity. Like, it is a space, a parking space. Space is a commodity. It is. So you should expect to have to pay for something for that space, right? Pay something.
Yeah.
I saw that post and I just moved along because I could quickly see that it wasn't, I know the spot. And so I was like, oh, that's not a city space, so why is anyone getting upset? They can set the price of whatever they want. Yep. And also, it wasn't like a Grizzly game or something that was, you know,
it was some normal event.
Some sort of outside event. And again, they can charge whatever they want for part, you know? So I moved along on that. I was like, whatever, $25, who cares?
Whatever.
Don't pay for it, you know? But people were getting outraged. As if they've never paid $25 for parking before.
Right.
Also.
Just not in Fresno.
What's the most you've ever paid for parking, do you remember?
It seems like I've paid $25 a park in San Francisco a lot, and that was freaking 15 years ago, right. So who knows what it'd be now. But I know I've paid that to, like, park in San Francisco before.
Oh, yeah.
I'll pay extra just to not have to deal with finding a spot.
Right.
Be like, if I'm like, can't find a spot, somebody's like, hey, $25 right here. All right, cool, bro. Here.
Yep.
Later.
Yeah. Which is the other cool thing in Fresno, that's not really the case.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted and don't care about really walking all that far, you can totally find a spot and not have to pay $25. So, yeah. Yeah. So there, that's my final thought on
it. There's downtown.
I did see that bubble up, though.
All right. Fulton Street. It's we're past the 6 month mark,
and
Fresno B, those bastards at the B, they wrote an article like six months. Yeah, there's
several
been yeah up but, and down.
Yeah,
and then this one was like, hey, is there enough going on? I don't know. Fulton Street revival. What's going on? Not much. And people are like, give it a chance. And other people are like, 6 months, bro. What's going on?
Right. It was crazy. Yeah.
And right, it's everything's the defense of like, no, you got to give it 3 years. Everyone's saying, you got to give it 3 years.
So, right.
Stuff's happening. And so far, the Los Panchos remodel seems to be the only visible thing right now.
Yeah. So, you know, so the B wrote this story, and I think it's a very legitimate story. So it's looking, so we had this big celebration, right? At the beginning of, in October or whatever, the grand opening of the street.
Yep.
And it was this big, huge thing, right?
Packed
and,
event.
It was, the idea being that, like, from that event, it would move forward and there would be all this other stuff and we should be, we should, start seeing some real, movement. And I think part of the problem of this whole thing is of why people expected a little more was because they did these pop-up shops.
Right.
Which I think is a great idea. So on the day of the celebration, they had all these people come in and just open for one night in these empty storefronts. Okay. Which is awesome because it gives people like the idea of, hey, this is what it might someday look like. Okay, A. And then B, like, it's kind of what they had to do because otherwise they're going to open the street and there's not going to be anyone there and everyone's going to be like, why are there all these empty buildings? So, like, it served a couple of purposes for them at the time. But I think it got in people's minds that, like, oh, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff down there. So then they start coming back and they're like, oh, where was all this cool stuff that I saw during
the
opening? Right. Where was that wine bar? Where was that, you know? So the B did a series of stories, but looking at sort of, you know, 6 months, and I think it's very reasonable, right? At 6 months, at a year, at major, like, markers, to take a look back and see, hey, how are things going? So they wrote a series of stories that didn't exactly paint the best picture of what was happening. And I think a couple of the headlines, you know, were a little bit salacious. I think one of them was like, 6 months after the opening, where are all the people? Or something like
that. Yeah.
And so some people took offense to the headlines. They took offense to this kind of notion that, you know, after 6 months, we should see. And so then they started saying all this stuff like, mm-hmm. oh, it's going to be 3 years or 10 years. And the mayor came out and said, you know, whatever he said about it. I don't know. I think, truthfully, so Los Ponchos is definitely the biggest thing you can see. They just reopened. They have a patio now. I saw some pictures. It looked really, really awesome.
That's pretty cool.
But, you know, I mean, I think there's other stuff that is happening. I mean, I think Fulton Street Coffee is opened, and it seems like it has a decent little following there. You know, it feels like Warner's Theater, and we'll talk about this a little more, but it feels like Warner's Theater has had some good stuff happening there and is kind of moving in a different direction, or, you know, better direction. You know, I can't say one way or another. I mean, one part of me is like, if for anyone who's been downtown for any amount of time and has been paying close attention, a lot has happened in the last like 3 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Has a lot happened in the last 6 months? I'm not entirely sure. But if you look at the last 10 years, I mean, it's definitely, you know, mm-hmm. it was like once upon a time there was like complete blocks where there was a warehouse with weeds growing all around
yeah.
it or an empty lot. And now it's like you're not going to find that really. So now there's actually, you know, there's actually a park that people go to.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually people walking around the neighborhoods with their dogs and their kids. There's actually places that you can stop and, you know, have a drink, get some coffee, et cetera, so forth. Is there enough of that? No. Will that come? You know, it's hard to say.
Hopefully.
I don't know. But yeah, you've been there.
All I care about right now is Zach's Brewing.
Just the one place.
Yeah, the one place on Fulton that I need everyone at the city should be working to get Zach's Brewing up and going.
Yeah.
That's what I want. But right now, I mean, there isn't that's all you can if you're the pro Fulton Street or tear down the mall person, you don't, I mean, all you have is wait 3 years.
There's really,
defense. So, and there's things happening.
No, I mean, you can point to some things. So, you know, they had, Fresh Yes Fest was as big as it's ever been this year, bigger than it's ever been. And it was mm-hmm. huge, and the whole street was packed for the entire night. They had the opening of the Fresno Football Club game where Fresno, you know, the whole street was downtown. I mean, the whole street was, packed and people were out and it was really exciting. So they've had and it's going to become a monthly thing of this Drag the Strip night,
mm-hmm.
Where they'll have, you know, old timey cars, old timey, in quotes.
Old timey.
But they'll have, you know, the hot rods and things come and, take over the street. So, I mean, there are things that are happening. So it's not like, it's a ghost town down there. Or anything to, you know, but if people want like the, you know, like they want immediately to see like, I don't know, a Macy's go in or something. I don't know, whatever it would be. Macy's probably not a good example, but whatever it was, like if they want some kind of like silver bullet, big, whatever, that's not gonna come yet. And I think the B also has done a good job with, because they've done a series of stories. So this wasn't the only story. And one of the stories they did was talking about the buildings downtown and who owns the buildings and what's being done with them. And, you know, I think we have this idea that a lot of these buildings are owned by out of town people who just don't care or whatever. And that's not really the case. There are buildings here who are owned by local people that just don't have the money to do what they need to do with them and can't get the financing. And so, I mean, it's difficult, but there's stuff happening.
All right.
We should just mark it now.
You know, we're going to be watching.
We should mark it now, and then in 3 years, May of whatever,
yeah.
2021.
Well, two and a half 5 years we'll give it from here, from this point.
We'll, you know, come back and see, and we'll be able to go, oh my God, I can't believe we were so
naive. I can't believe we were so stupid. Look at all the things that are happening. There's an IKEA now.
Right. Look at our great, yeah, or whatever it is. High speed rail. Mm-hmm. Probably not, but I don't know. It's, I see both sides of it. You know, I mean, I feel like there are people tend to fall on one or the other side of the thing, and they're both not the best places to be, I think. So on one side, you just have people who are like, downtown sucks. I'll never go down there because it's dirty and it's gross and there's nothing to do. And, you know, I think the same, these are the, also the same people that are like, downtown shouldn't be revitalized because gentrification. All those, like that side.
Yeah.
On the extreme side. On the other side, you have all the people who are just like, downtown is the best thing going and it's really super awesome right now. And it's so exciting. And anytime anyone talks bad about it, it's like, you be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about, you know? And so it's like, you can't have even constructive arguments or criticisms about downtown because look, let's face it. There are things to criticize about downtown. I think a lot of it too is just downtown has been crapped on for so long that people get, they're just mad. So they don't want to hear it anymore. So their default response is like, downtown's great. Downtown's great. You be quiet.
You be quiet. So, you haven't been down there.
You haven't. And you here's the truth. If you haven't been down there, go down there. It's cool, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of people that went down there, that maybe don't normally go down there, obviously, especially people from out of town and people from different parts of Fresno that don't normally go downtown. There was a big, a pretty eventful 3-day show of Neil Young and Crazy Horse.
Neil Young and Crazy Horse at the Warner's Theater.
Like, they just, this show just all of a sudden popped up out of nowhere. Yeah. The tickets on sale now. Show next week.
Yeah, tickets on sale. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was like a Monday. Tickets are on sale. Show was the next Tuesday.
That's crazy. Yeah. And was it?
And then they added another show.
Full every night? All 3 nights?
I believe it was. I believe it was, you know, maybe not sold out, but pretty close. You know, maybe less than 100 seats left or 50 seats. Yeah. I mean, it was, I went on the first night and it wasn't sold out. There were individual seats, but there were no big...
No big gaps.
I mean, and I'm almost positive the other 2 nights were the same. So, and he said, you know, so they're playing this show and Neil at one point, says, and I can't remember the exact wordings, but you know, you could tell that he was playing at this theater for the reason that it was this theater.
Really?
You know? And he was like, so I wish that we could take this on tour with us, you know, meaning the theater. And then he was like, or maybe we should just do the tour here, you know, like, so just
everyone
play.
Come to Fresno.
Just play Fresno all the time.
I'm having a, what's it called when your musician camps at a place?
That
excuses me.
Dang it.
How could I flummox you on this?
I know, it's just because.
It's a residency.
Residency, thank you. Yeah, it would be great if they had a residency at the... Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so, I mean, and a couple of cool things about this. One is Neil Young, Crazy Horse. So that's a pretty big band.
When was the last time they
played? They had not played here.
Yeah, in Fresno.
So I think Neil played at the Warners in 1988.
Wow.
But not with Crazy Horse. And so the other thing that was really cool about this show was... This is the first time that Neil Young and Crazy Horse had played since 2014. And it was at the time, it was the only three shows or only two shows that they were doing. They were playing two nights originally. It was the only two shows they were doing. He announced it and was selling tickets only through his website. So it was only
in the country?
People. Yeah, the only two shows. And then they added a third show here in Fresno and two shows, in Bakersfield. And that's, I think, unless it's changed since, was the only shows that they were doing, you know?
Wow.
So this was the kind of thing where there were people who came in from,
who knows?
You know, well, so the people behind me in line were from Santa Barbara. I had heard a story about people coming in from Canada. I heard there was a couple from Germany who had flown in. I guess Neil had played some sort of benefit show in LA, and they were there for that, and then they heard that he was playing in Fresno, so they stayed over, and they came in and stayed. They went to all three shows. This was definitely the kind of thing. Bill Walton, the basketball player,
he was there
for all three shows.
All three shows? I didn't hear that.
Yes, he was there all three shows.
He was a huge
Deadhead.
Walking Dead guy.
A Grateful Dead.
Walking Dead. No,
he may maybe do that too. Daryl Hannah was, you know, she's in a relationship with him, so she was in town at least for a few of the days. So, I mean, this was a big thing to have happen.
And to me,
I think it's a perfect example when we talk about revitalization in downtown and why downtown's important. This is what we're talking about because, look, this would not have happened any other place in Fresno. Like, it just, it couldn't have. Like, even if we had, like,
the Warners?
I don't know.
And, like, or just looking at the
I haven't been able, to kind of figure out how it all happened. I assume that he was, like, looking for, this type of venue and in places that weren't the big cities. I think that's, and, you know, there's not very many of them left. So, and especially like he lives pretty close. I think he lives in Atascadero or someplace.
Okay.
So he also lives kind of close, or even if he was in LA or whatever, they would be close. So I think that's the reason, but you know, that theater exists in downtown. It doesn't exist anywhere else. Even if they had a Hard Rock at River Park or whatever, Hard Rock Cafe or some sort of, you know, awesome venue, whatever, he wouldn't have played there. You know, that's not what he wanted. He wanted this very specific thing, and that only happens downtown.
It's organic theater.
Right. And so that's why downtowns are important, because that's the only place people are going to get this kind of event. And so that's why, you know, when you have a place like the Warner's Theater, that you want to keep it up and nice and going. And you also want to have a kind of cool, thriving neighborhood around there for them, you know. And there were a lot of people who kind of, that it was obvious that we weren't quite there yet. Mm-hmm. When there's a bunch of people, like 2,000 people standing in on the street, literally waiting to get their tickets, and everyone's going, "Hey, where can I get a drink? Hey, where can I get some food?"
Or
hey,
you're in a regular city, you would think like, "I'll just walk around the block, and I'm sure I'll find something."
And the places, and you know, so there weren't all that many places that were open, you know. Take Three closed at whatever time, and some of these other places they're only open till 6 or whatever. And the places that were open just weren't ready. They weren't ready for
that
big of a crowd because they weren't thinking about it, you know. And so it's unfortunate that there couldn't have been someone who, you know, saw this happening, either, you know, I don't know, Downtown Fresno partnership, someone who should have, you know, who could have said like, "Oh my God, there's going to be this many people here for 3 days," and just sent something, an email, whatever, out to all the businesses saying, "Hey, look, there's going to be a ton of people here. You need to be open."
Yeah.
You know, not just for the sake of
your business, but
whatever, but yes, right. And for the sake of your business, you know, because my God, they would have done gangbusters that night, you know. Had there been a bar that was you know, open and real close, I think a bunch of people ended up at Club One, I heard, and some other places. So, you know, I think that's sort of the next step is, like, when you have these events, these sort of like big community cultural events, to be prepared. You know, and Fulton, the guy from Fulton Street Coffee, was like, he said they were open later than they normally are open to accommodate, but they would have been opened even later. They just didn't have the staffing because they didn't anticipate whatever. So,
they must have had to like close the door and said sorry. And
yeah,
like,
I mean,
people
like
are outside, like,
yeah,
like,
we walked by and we were going to go in, the door was open and stuff, but I could tell it was closed up. So, you know, and then so we just ended up going inside and hanging out. But it was one of those things that, like, it was a great experience down there. And I think anyone who is pro downtown can point to that and be like, as a great example of the possibility and the potential of what downtown is, you know. So,
yeah, but yeah, how we're not ready for something like that.
No.
It's just downtown's not prepared for an unexpected event.
Right. I think more of that stuff is going to, and here's the thing, as more of that stuff happens, we will be more ready, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I think there will be more of that kind of stuff as, you know, word about this gets out and, you know, once people know, oh, there's a viable
venue. I that kind of speaks to, like, if you've ever gone into Hoppy K, which they're still working, they still have growing pains,
some kinks, yeah,
as a restaurant, because yeah. I've been there 3 times, and every time I've been in there, there's been some sort of, I'll just mark up to growing pains. Uh-huh. If I was in a different restaurant, I'd be like, what the hell? You guys don't have your shit together. Uh-huh. But since they're new, I'm still like, all right, you guys are new still.
All right, I'm
but like
the benefit
when there's an event, like that place is just overwhelmed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't matter what, even if it's just a soccer game, it's just like that place seems to be like, oh, you know. So I don't know. Tioga is really the only place that has actually sort of trained.
They understand
they understand how to deal with a big crowd.
Right, right.
I don't think anybody else downtown is. So, I don't know. That's, like you
hey,
said,
can we talk about something along a similar line?
Okay.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
I don't know.
What is it?
I'll just edit it out if I don't appreciate whatever it's called.
Fulton Street Live.
Okay. Yeah.
And it sounds a little bit similar to an event that we know about intimately, called the Fuse Festival.
Yes. That's an urban sound experience.
But so I think that this is a series of events that are coming up. And I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it enough to be able to say exactly how it works. But it seems like there's a bunch of venues downtown. And so, you know, I don't know, somehow you sign up to become a venue. And if you're a venue, you're going to host live music on a certain night of the month, the Fulton Street Live night. And then people could come through and listen to music. And the bands are all going to get paid somehow, I think. And the venues are all going to be full. That's what they're hoping, I think. And it seems kind of cool. I haven't looked into it enough to be able to tell you 100% what it's all about. I should start looking into that because I think the first one is coming up. But it seems like a concept that, like I said, we kind of know about. It was the
multiple
Fuse
stages in one place, multiple time, like
that was
various
the
acts playing at the same time, yeah, multiple stages.
And you know, the local original bands. Original idea of Fuse even was or part of it was the I can't remember what he called it, but Mike Oz had an idea. It was like rock hop or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this whole idea. So hopefully.
Art hop version, a musical version of art hop.
And look, I'm glad they didn't call it that because we don't need another hop thing. But anyway, so that's happening. You can find it. I think if you just go search Fulton Street Live on Facebook or something, you should be able to find it out. But
good luck. Good luck to them.
What else?
Watch out. Well, band of the episode, man.
You want to do band of the episode?
Yeah, we're ready.
All right.
Hagen Alter?
Hagen Alter.
Am I saying that right?
I think so. So I stumbled across this band just the other day, actually, and they have a single out. I think they're working on an EP, and it is a sort of local-ish band. The drummer and guitarist singer for Beastmaker, and the son of Sammy Hagar.
Nice.
Which I sort of makes sense because Trevor Church, who plays in Beastmaker, is related to Bill Church, who played with Sammy Hagar.
Oh, I didn't know he was actually a Bill Church.
Yeah.
Church.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, so you know that I think that connection was probably made a long time ago. Blah blah blah. Anyway, so now he has they have this project and they have a new single out. Let's listen. cool. Just straight up good old fashioned, like just rock music. Just
rock,
yeah.
Like Sabbath.
So, I right now it seems to me like Trevor is the like hardest working dude. I mean, both those guys in Beastmaker, all those guys in Beastmaker, just killing it. The drummer actually has, I don't know if you've seen those, he does these jam sessions, puts them up on Facebook, and it's just, you know, he'll play drums or sometimes he'll do samplers or whatever, uh-huh. and he'll just have other people come in and sit in with him. So uh-huh. he had like the dude from Style Like Revelators come and play. Okay. He had Benji from the Fey Rays play cool. one time.
And he puts it up on Facebook?
And he puts it up on Facebook or he'll have like he had the dude from Seiji come and rap.
Oh yeah,
and he was just doing drums. So
oh man,
yeah, no, they're really cool. So you should check those out. I want to say they're called the Vato Sessions or something uh-huh. like that, but super cool stuff, and really, especially if you're like into the local scene, because he has a bunch of like local scene guys come in and play with him. So, but they're just really, you know, they're working hard to do some good stuff. I mean, I feel like Beastmaker itself has had a lot of success, and then mm-hmm. they have the he has his other band Haunt that is also has an album coming out and whatever, and so this is a third they're probably gonna have more than that. You know,
so he's got three going on.
That's just the way it is, though. I think that's the way you do it if you're really into it. You just any opportunity someone gives you, you say okay, mm-hmm. and then you make it work. So yeah. I think that's what he's doing. But anyway, sweet. Really cool stuff. What else is?
Oh man! Yeah,
what have we missed?
Uh oh! I got into a bit of a Twitter beef.
Yes.
About.
I was so happy about this.
I'm so happy everyone else is watching from afar with the popcorn and one of yeah. those memes. With,
yeah,
like,
Michael
popcorn,
Jackson like, eating like, popcorn.
Just watch.
Yeah.
So Frozo PD did a bust.
They busted the shit.
Busted those bastards selling the candy, the marijuana,
the metal
edibles,
marijuana
that packaging sort of like candy.
What, where did this bust happen?
I want to say Blackstone, Belmont. Okay. I don't know for sure.
There was a bust and they busted these guys with candy.
Yeah. And there was
edibles.
Right.
And some
marijuana
of them,
edibles.
Some of them were packaged as candy.
Packaged like candy-esque.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, as these things are.
Okay. And so, yeah. And I made a tweet, like, sort of salacious-y, but, like, I don't know, sometimes I forget that people read. Like, in my head, I'm just like, no, you know, it's much different if you're in person and I say it, than whether somebody reading it take it a different way. And
well, first of all, let's be clear that one of the reasons that the police they raided these people and they were all happy about it was because they were afraid, or they thought that like the candy that kids could eat the candy or whatever,
that kids would be eating it, thinking it's candy,
which is like, I'm not sure exactly sure how that happens, because I doubt that people who have edibles are just going to be handing them out on the street, going, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, they could go into people's houses. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like, it's sort of one of those, like, they'll take the worst case scenario of something like this could happen, right, and then assume that's what's going to happen.
Because,
I think anybody, I'm really, like, for the record, I am not a marijuana user.
No.
Like,
you're not a pothead.
No, I'm not at all. Actually, but I also appreciate that it is not on the scale of things that damage things, it is super, super low.
Yeah.
And it actually is a benefit to people.
For a lot of people.
For a lot of people. That's not some like pot guy like rhetoric.
Right. That's real. Yeah.
It is very much something that helps people.
Right.
That's not bullshit.
Unlike alcohol, let's say.
Right.
Although, exactly. I mean, I guess you could argue
it helps
alcohol
me,
helps
Josh.
You.
It helps me.
Some people would say alcohol helps them a lot.
I mean, honestly, alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana.
Right, right.
It just is. And that's speaking as a person that drinks beer and
loves his craft
and doesn't
beer.
Use marijuana.
Yeah.
But I, so in Fresno, Fresno's a violent town, and you know, somebody, if somebody from San Francisco says, "Oh, Fresno, it's so crime-ridden," blah blah blah, I'm gonna say, "No, it's not. Actually, right, look at the stats; it's not any more violent than your town, asshole." But when we're talking amongst Fresno friends, I'm like, "Hey, yeah, it's, yeah. I wish Fresno wasn't so much crime."
Yeah.
But so I'm thinking like, hey, since we have a lot going on here, this is what we need to focus on as the big stuff. And we'll get to the little stuff when we clean up all the big stuff.
And by little stuff, you mean like
marijuana.
Busting a bunch of people.
Something that's the edibles. State of California right. said it's perfectly fine right. in regulated amounts. And I understand this shop was not doing things properly.
They weren't doing and legal business.
They are idiots for being, if you're running a shop in Fresno about that it's related to marijuana and right. you're not checking off all the boxes,
right.
you are asking for it. Right. I will say that. Like,
right, sure.
You're an idiot thinking you're not going to get busted right. at some point.
Of course you are.
So I'll give that. But my tweet was that, I said, Fresno PD, gang violence, poverty, legal edibles, we got those fuckers! So I'm just like,
did you at Fresno PD?
No. Okay. I didn't want to start that. I was just like a person, I didn't at anybody. Right. It was just like a personal.
Yeah, just a normal, okay.
Personal tweet. Yeah. And like, the point being for me was just like, there are more important right. things we need to be worrying about.
Right, right.
And some people took this to mean like I was disrespecting the Fresno Police Department and all this. I'm like,
America.
That's not what I meant. I'm not disrespect. I know Fresno PD, those guys have to deal with some real shit. Stuff that right. It would follow me home and right, right. I wouldn't be able to sleep
right.
at night.
You don't want
stuff.
It. Right, right.
And so I appreciate
that. Also stuff that you would want them to handle instead of you. Right. That's why you called them.
Exactly.
Right.
So I appreciate that. That's sort of my point was like, while they're doing this, while they're besting a pot shop, somebody is getting right. robbed right, right now yeah, somewhere
yeah.
else in the city.
Yeah.
And we don't have the kind of amount of police force that even Police Dyer admitted, like, we don't really have the time to deal with this, but right. somebody said, go deal with this. And so we did.
Right.
And I don't know. I may be wrong, but I'm just like, man, this is so super low on the importance scale.
It
I really
should
don't.
Be. It should be right. Okay. Uh huh.
And
so, you got some.
Yeah.
Some
got some flack about it, and
got some clap back.
And usually I ignore that kind of stuff, but it just sort of rubbed me the wrong way when I was getting called out for
Twitter
being disrespectful to police, and then it's like I'm just trying to say they're not doing the right thing at the right time.
They just need to let that all go.
And I think it's just sort of points out that, and I appreciate that we are going to go through some growing pains as pot becomes more legal and hopefully more acceptable privately. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we should be like, if you go in San Francisco, it's just the whole town smells like pot. And I don't want that. I just want people to legally be able to do it in the privacy of their right. home. And I think the growing pains being like, we're not used to this kind of thing yet. So we're just like, oh, there's a shop with like,
shut it down.
Candy, right. marijuana, edible candy. Oh no. Oh my God. Right. Shut that down.
Right.
Whereas, you know,
so I wonder,
I think in a few years that won't.
So
like,
I wonder how this would play out. If, for instance, I was making moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
Like a ton of moonshine that I was calling like cola kid juice or something. And it was really super tasty moonshine that maybe kids would want to drink thinking it was Kool-Aid or whatever. And I was operating in Fresno. I didn't have none of my permits or nothing, right? I just was like in my backyard, like whatever. Would they take me down in the same way they would do these
right.
pot guys?
Yeah, I felt like, to me, it's like a code, city code
right.
violation.
Right, it's a business. It's a business
yeah.
thing. Yeah,
and I understand that because it's technically a criminal thing. That's
sure.
fine. But like, to me, it felt like two guys in a car, in a Fresno PD, a, and his partner and just pull up in a car and say, oh, you guys aren't doing this right.
Right.
We're going to be shut down you for a while.
And we're going to confiscate all your stuff.
That. Yeah. And that's it. And then that was just, to me, that felt like something as a part of one patrol car's part of his day was shutting a shop down. Like, oh, what did you do? Oh, there was a shop. They weren't doing it.
Do you know enough about the story? I mean, because maybe these guys were hooked in with gangs and stuff, too.
I did not see that. I can't say
that also could be a concern or also like that.
That would be my thought. I don't know.
That maybe they were selling to, you know, maybe they weren't selling to normal people.
I didn't see anything in there where they were selling to anybody they shouldn't have sold to. It was just that they were, I don't think edibles are legal in the city, so to sell even for a shop. So
You can't sell, there's no commercial marijuana,
right? There's no shops to walk into without a medical license.
Well, even that I don't think is yet legal.
Okay,
right now. So I think right now there's no shops or anything that should be operating or that would be operating legally in Fresno, city of Fresno. So they're working on it.
I think it's just growing pains. And, and if in a few years that won't, it'll work itself. Cause we're just, it's new. Yeah. I understand it's new and a little scary to everyone.
It's scary they put them in candy
and stuff. So
you're just eating candy.
If you look at that stuff, like, man, I would never, if I was a kid, you know, I grew up in the 70s, 80s where, like, there was the candy scares of, like bad people are putting
razor blades.
So we were scared to death of anything that wasn't store.
Right. If it doesn't say Snickers on there.
Yeah. I did not. When somebody would pass out an apple or something, I can't remember, like,
nope.
Trash.
Throw it away.
This is trash.
So when you see.
All these were, like, packaged, like, homemade, like, you did it on your printer kind of packaging.
Right. Yeah.
It didn't look like store brand candy to me, so I don't know.
Don't eat non store bought candy, kids.
Kids, if you didn't buy it in the liquor store, and somebody else has pointed out, which I really admit as a craft beer drinker, like all these new craft beer cans, they look like they be like soda or energy drinks or something.
No, that's 100%.
And they're all sold in the corner store, so it's not, I don't know. Like I said, that's just new to us in Fresno. So we're gonna get scared at stuff for a while, and we'll figure it out. And then we'll bust those bastards. Got them.
All right. Anything else for the good of the Fresno cause? It seems like we probably missed a bunch.
And, retail stuff. We always like to reference what's your coworker,
Bethany.
Yeah. Bethany is doing over there. And she put out a thing like, oh, what do you guys want to see? And it's kind of like, you know, in town. And it's just some of the same old stuff we keep bringing up. Like IKEA.
Everyone wants IKEA.
Couldn't care less about
was
IKEA.
Was there anything interesting in there?
Not really, but the old Chevy's is going to be a Brazilian steakhouse kind of place.
Possibly.
It's called Texas de Brazil.
I don't think there's been like, or at least last that I heard, there wasn't
like it's official
confirmation other than like they were looking to hire people or something. Yeah. So.
The Elephant Bar is going to be a place called Lazy Dog.
Yeah, they have. It's just a restaurant, but they're dog friendly. They'll have a patio.
The patio will be all
dog friendly, which I think will go over really well here because people love their freaking dogs.
Mm-hmm. At the old Tahoe Joe's is going to be like a Mexican sushi.
Mexican sushi place. Which. Weirded me out until I realized that that totally makes like it's sushi so like in Mexico much like in the United States when they have sushi places, so this is just a sushi place from Mexico. I mean, right?
Okay.
So so it took me a while too because I was like, what does sushi have to do with no, it would be like you know, I don't know. We have sushi restaurants.
It'd be like Maru opening up in Mexico City and be like, oh,
right,
American sushi.
Right.
Like, there it's just sushi.
Yeah. So.
But no, they did have some weird ones.
I mean, it was
stuff. Which is good.
based on, you know, their
Right.
Apparently sushi's big in Mexico. I didn't know, and I
yeah.
talked to several people. They're like, oh, yeah.
I guess in Baja, I would make sense.
Right, place where they have fish. Like,
actually have the fish there.
Yeah.
In town. I'll be checking it out, because we're sushi people.
Yeah.
And
also Mexican fare.
Yeah. I like Mexican food. I like sushi. I like my fried, though.
My
rolls, I gotta have something.
You're not. So you like pokey?
I haven't tried really the pokey stuff.
I don't think you'd like it.
Yeah, I don't like the raw fish.
All right. Well, there it is.
Like that. I think that's enough, dude.
Hey, that's pretty close. There's one recro stuff.
Tap and Cellar.
Oh yeah.
Pinedale.
Right. Right.
/ Palm, what's that place, that area called? The Palm Bluffs.
But it's not in the actual Palm Bluffs.
No, it's in the old other side. Part, yeah. The old industrial part.
The old industrial.
Yeah, across from the Pine and Palm Brewery. It's pretty cool. It's a good place. It's got some good beer that you can't find anywhere else, because they go and run and get taps from the Central Coast or kegs from over the Central Coast and bring them over.
That's legal?
It's nice and big.
Is that legal?
I
mean, it is legal.
Yeah.
But I thought you have to go through a distributor.
Yeah. You can self-distribute. Matt's the guy to talk to about that. But I believe if the brewery says it's fine, you can do it. Like, if the brewery self-distributes, which... places like Alvarado Street, where they get their,
they're too small.
From, I think they self distribute, and so I think if they say it's fine,
right?
If they're doing it without Alvarado Street, if they're just like buying kegs, like, oh, we're having a party, 5 kegs, and they're like, okay, and then they go
take
it over to the bar.
I just always heard that you couldn't sell beer without going through it. Like, there had to be that middleman there.
I think
it seems like that's
if you have a distributor,
you have to use the distributor.
I believe that's how it works, but
I'll have to look that up.
Could be wrong.
I'll have to look.
Matt's gonna scold
someone
me now.
Someone will know, and then they'll just tell us, and
because Matt said it several times on the Perfect Bar,
and you just never paid attention. That's fine.
I don't retain things, Josh.
All right, so now it's time to
plug it up.
How about you go first?
The Dorktown Network podcast.
All of them.
Dorktown. It's still happening. Okay. It's just very sporadic. It's like once every 2 months now. But whatever. You can't get sick of it.
Right.
And it's just comedy podcast with producer Becky and the Bells, the famous Bells. And there's also the Harrison Ford show called Get Off My Podcast.
What was the last one you did?
We did one about the upcoming Han Solo movie.
Okay.
I think we're going to have another episode involving that, and then we're going to have a...
Even though that movie
episode
has nothing to
after
do with
the
Harrison
movie
Ford.
Comes out. No, it doesn't. Well, it does. It's in the Harrison Ford universe, we like to call it.
Okay.
If it's a movie in the Harrison Ford universe,
all right,
we can talk about
Fair
it.
Fair enough. Okay.
And any Star Wars movie is that.
Is. Okay. Okay.
Especially when it's his character.
It is his character. I mean, okay.
Yeah. And then there's also the Perfect Pour.
Perfect Pour.
Beer Geek. Crappier Show. Podcast. With Nick and Matt.
Okay.
The brothers. 2 hours a week, every week, two hours, every Friday, a new show.
That is pretty darn good.
Yeah. We're going to hit 250 episodes now.
We've actually recorded
more episodes in Dorktown now.
Wow.
Which is shocking.
That is awesome. Cool.
And Fresno.com. Occasionally, hopefully once a week, write a post related to Fresno culture.
Most of the time, it's just about trash. And then
yep. I just
Everyone
talk about trash.
He talked about his trash can.
You talked about my trash can. Weekly check-in on how my trash bins are doing and how to place them in
order to keep people from going through
those bastards. No, I don't mind people going through it. I want to go on record. I'm not one of those people that like care whether somebody's going through my recycling bin. It's the way they do it.
Just be clean about it.
Clean about it.
Don't leave all the shit.
Don't leave the stuff. I worked all week to recycle and put them in the garbage
or
the green
bin.
Don't
just dump it on the street and then clean what you want and leave the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. There's a post about that in the Fresno, right?
Yeah. So I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com, and that includes another podcast I do called the Fresno Beehive Podcast. It's a pop culture podcast.
What? Is that allowed?
It's a pop culture podcast. We just talk about normal pop culture fun stuff and have a lot of guests. Rory Appleton is on it most of the time. He's on leave right now, but he'll be back. His wife's on it, some other people, so... really good. I also do an Aikido podcast called Aikido Discussed.
How many? I'm sorry.
Discussed. Aikido Discussed. And you can find that on iTunes and everything. You can look for Aikido of Fresno.
How many episodes are you on?
You know what? I'm not 100% sure. It's weekly. It's been tough, but we've done it every week probably for several months now.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Keeping it up.
So we got quite a few episodes going. We have a decent following, you know, maybe like, you
Does he have a Twitter account?
There is a Twitter account, Aikido of Fresno.
For the Aikido itself, the podcast.
Okay. No, the podcast is out through there. And it's always up on our Facebook page and all that other good stuff. So, and obviously you got to be into Aikido to want to even listen to something like that. But if you are, and we talk about other martial art kind of stuff as well. Then I will plug my musical aspirations. It'll Grow Back is the punk band that been in for a long time. Hasn't played in a while, but who knows if something will happen with that.
Because Portland.
Right. Yeah,
Bastard City, Portland.
And then I have a new project I'm working on called The Dang It Bobbies, and we have a 5-song EP up now if you look at thedangitbobbies.com. Or we will be playing soon again. We did one show. It went over pretty well. So we're going to try to do a couple more shows coming up soon. So you can look for that as well.
How'd that show go?
It was good.
Missed the show.
You know, it's one of those things where I don't think you're ever really as prepared for your first show as you think you are, you know? Or maybe some people are. But we definitely could have been better rehearsed, I think. But that being said, it was still a lot of fun. And it was cool. It was a good night all around. So... I think that's it. I can't think of anything else I'd like to plug. I'm sure. I'm sure there are other things I could plug, but we'll just leave it at that for now.
Enjoy the next month and being in Fresno.
We're gonna enjoy it before it gets to the triple digits.
Yeah,
and go ahead and leave us a comment. If you'd like, leave us a review. Give us those four. Is it stars? Is it
five stars?
We want them 5 stars.
Subscribe to the show. That's the biggest thing you can do for us is subscribe to the show.
Tell
your friends. There's a Fresno podcast. You know, called Following the Famous.
Grab
their phone
and put it in there.
Make them subscribe.
Yeah. There's still people that are finding out about it, you know. I just sort of assume, like, everybody I...
That's all you've been around.
Everybody I know just knows that I do this thing, but the truth is nobody knows, or a lot of people don't know. And there's still people that are finding out and really seem to enjoy it. So kudos to them for finding it.
Yeah.
And kudos to you, sir, for
Joshua
it happen.
Joshua Teehee on Twitter.
Joshua Teehee on Twitter.
The Fresnan
himself.
There is a Flowing with Famous Twitter too that we don't do a whole lot with, but
if you want to look
it's
at
there.
It,
so.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
I'm counting this out. 5, 4, 3, 2,
All right.